Hello everyone and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Katowska and I will be your host. This is the UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of study, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions, we will have guest speakers, and what's most important, we will exercise together. Yes, you heard me right. In every episode, we will have a healthy dose of exercises that we will do together. So we won't just talk about fit life, we will actually experience the fit life together. Are you ready? Then let's go! What is mindset and how does it affect our health? This is the topic of today's show. A mindset is a particular way of thinking or a frame of mind. Your mindset is a mental attitude or set of opinions that you have formed about something through experience, education, upbringing, or even a culture. You can have a mindset on a particular event, topic, item, or even a person. Today, we're speaking to Phaedra, an incredible woman who has so much to share about mindset and health. She's a single mom of four who overcomes so very difficult times and loves to share her story, knowledge, and experience with others to help them to see how they can turn things around. Phaedra is also a property entrepreneur and the founder of Property Means Business. She has more than 30 years of experience as a property developer, investor, and consultant who offers a bespoke services to high net worth and high profile individuals, assisting with acquiring and selling discrete off-market commercial and residential real estate. Phaedra, welcome to the show.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good morning. How are we doing, Phaedra?
I'm very good, thank you. Very, very good.
Very good. Fine, that's amazing.
And how are you?
I'm good. Also just alone, but I came back yesterday at 3 a.m., so just starting the day right now. Very glad to have you, and welcome to UK Health Radio and to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body.
And I thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
So, Phaedra, today we have a topic about mindset, our mindset, and how does it affect our health? Now, speaking about mental and physical health, I think you have quite big experience in that. So it would be amazing to find out what do you know about it, who are you, and why this subject in your life? How did it appear in your life?
Okay, that's interesting. Very good. We can get started. Where do I begin?
Who are you, Phaedra?
First of all, I'd say I'm a very proud mother of four beautiful. Two of the girls are twins. And apart from my duty, I'm also a grandmother as well. My eldest has given me the joy of becoming a glamorous grandmother, I will say. Mm-hmm. And I'll be a grandmother of two soon. And after that, I am a property, I'd like to call myself a creative property business expert. And that's because I'm very creative whenever I deal with properties. And again, I work primarily within, most of my work is within property. So that's really me in a nutshell. And I teach property as well. That's me in a nutshell. So a mother and then a businesswoman.
And the business
really primarily based with property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, your resume is pretty, because I've read it. So it's pretty impressive. So Okay. Tell me more about the mindset. So, you know, you work in your industry, which is real estate industry, pretty, I would say, you know, a ruthless industry, very hard, very tough. I think male dominated industry as well. So the mindset probably, I would say, plays a huge role. If you can tell us more about it, why and how does it work for you, or what do you do to have strong mindset?
Well, I say the mindset would have started from as a child, because my mum instilled that in us to believe in ourselves. Also, as a child, I'm an only girl with two brothers. I was surrounded by men. My cousins, they're mainly male dominated. So for me, being in an industry which is really a man's industry was something that came easy for me, because I was able to switch off, be a woman, but also know how to deal with men. When I started, I started off as a developer. So I was really working with men as builders. Also, when I was sourcing properties, it was also, I was giving them to men. At the time, it was a very much a male predominant business, because we're talking about back in the 80s, when there wasn't really much women in the business. Mm-hmm. So you have to have that mindset. And you have to be able to, I'll say it again, you have to know who you are. And you have to, when you know who you are, you're strong enough to not be intimidated by the things people do or the things people say. But you also have to keep on reminding yourself that sometimes when people behave a particular way, it's because they've got something going on in their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's not about you.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I would say, I think it also starts at home, because the way we are brought up, upbringing, our childhood has a huge impact on our adulthood. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, definitely.
You're a mother of four, right?
Yep.
So raising children, and you're a single mother, right? So raising children on your own, it must be very tough. And also, you know how much work you put into their mental health. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, definitely. Because children can be very fragile as well. Mm-hmm. And it's having that balance of supporting them, but also not letting them be too fragile. I've got twins, and I've got twins, and the girls, they're not identical. And what will happen, I remember when they were much younger, one will come and say, "Mom, I did really well at school." So I would give her a secret praise and really praise her, but I wouldn't do it in front of the other sister, because I didn't want the other sister to feel bad. So I may, when she say, "Oh, Mom, I did this," I will kind of say, "That's really good," but play it down. I wouldn't say, "Oh, it's really good." But on her own, I say, "Oh, you did really well." So I wouldn't let the other one feel bad. And the other one, if she felt, there was times when, you know, because although they're not identical, they get compared, and it's really trying to balance it. They will get, one will say, "I'll prefer this one," or they will say, "I prefer that one," or they make comments about each one of them. So again, on their own, I will speak to them on their own and give them information and tell them about themselves, what, how good they are, how great they are. And don't be concerned what people say. What does your mum say about you? And that's how I used to do it. So they've got their own secret little special time. And also what I did with them, with the, all the children, there's four of them, one day a week we'll go out with one child. It'll be just me and that one child out on our own. And then I'd do that. So every week I was going out with a child. So they all had their one-to-one time with me. Mm. So yes, it does make a big difference.
Yeah. It's a fantastic idea. So then everyone is treated individually. It's very important, isn't it? To remember that everyone, even if those are twins, your children, they are individual people, separate. You need to have very separate approach to each one of them, isn't it?
And also there was a time when I would buy one child something and they would say, that's not fair. You brought so-and-so that. And I say, okay, take what I do. I say to the child with the one that I bought the stuff for, give it back to me. What I'll have to do, when I can save up enough money to buy us all things at the same time, then you'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, if I'm not allowed to buy one child something and you're all going to complain, that means you won't get nothing then. You'll have to all get it at the same time. Oh, no, 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 mum, no, no, it's okay, it's okay. And that was that, that solved that problem.
I see. So, you know, how becoming a single mother of four is not even one, two, three, it's four. Beautiful number, but, you know, it's a lot of responsibility. How did it impact your career, such a strong career, such a very, you know, responsible career, and your health? How did you manage?
How it impacted it massively, because I had my first child when I was 34. So during my formative years, I was very much entrepreneurial, business. When I got pregnant, my family didn't believe that I'd ever have children. So I had my first child at 34, and I remember, and also I was married as well.
Right.
So I was so used to being doing things by myself. Mm-hmm. So I then had to remember, you're married, now you've got a child. Mm-hmm. So I had to do things collectively. But as when the marriage broke up, well, my son was only 18 months at the time when it broke up. So he's the last one, so there was four of them. When the marriage broke down, it was a real, real, real struggle, because I was doing very well financially. I had four of them in private school. Then things started to go downhill for me, and I couldn't do what I needed to do. Because you haven't got no one to look after your children. Mm-hmm. So you can't really go on any business meetings or anything, because you couldn't take your children with you and you couldn't go. So I couldn't make any plans. So I had to start redressing what I'm doing. Luckily, I had properties at the time and they were giving me an income.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really more forced to stay at home and really live off the income from my properties. Then I started to start selling them, because I needed cash because interest rates were going up high, and I started to sell the properties in order to keep me afloat. What I did find, there was a time when I remember not really wanting to do anything in the house at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know what it was, but I didn't feel like doing anything. But I had my priority became my children. Mm-hmm. But you've got your children, but you can't, you'll find it difficult. You're struggling with the fact that you can't do what you used to do. You don't have what you used to have. And it's, what do you do? And you're not, and it seems bleak. It seems bleak. So I found myself not wanting to do anything. And there was a time when I remember I felt really ill. I was getting some pains in my chest and I couldn't even get nobody to stay with my children. So that I can go to the hospital to check myself, because I thought I was having a heart attack. Mm. And then I remember saying, I can't even afford to be sick, you know? And I went to the doctor's on the Monday, that was over the weekend, and she'd done a test for me, and she told me that I was depressed.
Right.
So when she said that to me, what it did for me, it made me say, oh, that's why I didn't feel like doing anything. Oh, that's what it is. And it made sense, because I'd gone through a lot. I lost my mom. I've gone through a lot. Breakdown of a marriage. I faced in bankruptcy. So I've gone through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me say, right, okay, that's what it is. Now I know what to do. So for me, I had to start looking into myself, looking at what can I do to start doing. So it was more of a conscious decision to start doing things. Okay, you don't feel like tidying up. That's because you're feeling this way. Let's tidy up now. Let's do this now. Let's do that now. And I do remember when a friend of mine said to me, I thought, because my credit had gone downhill.
Mm-hmm.
So I was no longer A1 credit. And the friend had said to me, look, there's a PIN meeting. It was a property investment network, I think it's called. And a meeting. And she said, come along. I didn't want to go along because I thought, I can't buy properties anymore. I don't really feel up to it. But I was always still getting offered properties. I was still offered properties. And so I went along to the meeting. And what it is, I had a list of properties that was for sale, and they were paying the deposits for people. And so you had to do like a 60, 20 second pitch or something. So I went up and I said, oh, my name's Video Flash. I've got a list of properties, deposits paid, contact me if you're interested. And I was bombarded with so many people. I couldn't believe it. And that's when I started back on my track with my property game. I thought, okay, no credit, but what you can do, you can find properties for people, pass them on and get paid. So for me, it has been a journey. It's been a real big journey because I had to still navigate being a mum, being there for my children. I had to be at home with my children because when they became teenagers, when I'm out, they're out. So I had to make sure I'm in. You know, so there was a lot of challenges, but it's about your mind and it's about taking a conscious decision to say, you know what, I have to change. You either accept the diagnosis or you reject the diagnosis and do something about it. Because you can reject it and say, no, I'm not. But it's the doing. You have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. I fully agree. You know, I'm listening recently to a podcast with Tony Robbins. And well, all those little coaches out there, the different podcasts, just to educate myself too. And the most important thing that they highlight is always, it's not just that you think about it, you have to make an action. Always yeah. An action. If you have a thought, make a little action. Even if it's just to send an email, make a phone call, do a note, make an action.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, where the idea of your business came from, like the property itself, and how did you make it all happen so successfully that, you know, you're very well-established businesswoman?
Well, property was always in me. Mm-hmm. It was always in me from when I was young. I used to go to America when I was 16. So that was back in the 70s. And my aunts had a lot of properties. So that was always something that I admired and something that I wanted to get involved in. And then I remember a friend of mine from school, we spoke and I said, I want to get involved in property. She goes, oh, I've bought one. I said, really? Where? And then she took me to her one. Then I happened to meet a friend of mine. This is where your words are powerful. I met a friend of mine because I said, I want to get in property. I need to get involved in property. Then I met a friend of mine and he was the manager of an estate agent. At the time, it was Abbey National Cornerstones. And he goes, oh, I'm the manager of Abbey National Cornerstones. And, you know, we've got loads of properties. So he gave me a property at the time, $35,000 for one bed flat in Camberwell. That's South London.
Mm-hmm.
And I went along and bought that. It was $35,000 and I got a 5%. I mean, I got a 3,500 personal loan for my deposit.
Right.
And that's how my journey began. And then I started buying from developers. They were selling properties and then they would pay my deposits. So then I would buy a property. Back then it was simple. They called it the good old days because you just had to say, I earn a certain amount of money, tick the box, and then that's it. You know, you're given a mortgage for a self-certification. And I started to build up a portfolio from that way. When I got married, I had my properties paid for each other and they paid for me to live. I never paid for anything. They all paid for me to live and they paid for my lifestyle and it was good. And hence my children were in private school. But when the interest rates went up, things started to go downhill because you now had to find money for the mortgages. I was no longer able to get more because I bought properties that were going to be my pension. And then I was in development. So I was buying and selling as well. I was buying and selling. And also I was passing deals on because I would get offered a lot of deals and I'll just give them to another developer. And then they will pay me a fee for that. So it was quite lucrative. But in terms of how I built it up, because it went downhill. Mm-hmm. It went downhill after the bankruptcy. And then I had to start again from scratch. And what allowed me to start from scratch is your knowledge. You cannot, once you know, nothing can be taken away from you. Once it's in your head,
mm-hmm.
it's there.
Yeah,
they can't take it away. So regardless to what, it's my knowledge. So mm-hmm. it's more of my knowledge and my creativity, because I've learned to be creative in my purchases, and creative in my negotiation. And I also go for a win-win. And what brought me to start up Property Means Business, because I dealt with a lot of landlords, a lot of vendors. When the landlord's got a property and they want to rent it out, they say, no, I don't want this person in there. Oh, no, because my carpet's going to get messed up. Oh, because they're going to. And I'm like, this is a business. Why are you taking it so personal for? I don't want men in there. I just want women. I don't want this. I don't want couples. Why? So I start saying they're not seeing it as a business. And then when you're selling a property, they put the prices, because we've got the internet now, a lot of vendors will go by what it says online. Oh, well, that one's gone for such and such, so my one's got to be more than that. It's a better property. So I want it that price. And I say to them, your property is only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. And I say the difference about me with any other agent, because I'm an agent, I'm a developer, and I'm also an investor. Whenever I look at a property, I look at it with a developer's eye, an investor's eye. I'm not looking at my commission. I'm looking at, is it really worth it? And who will be the person to buy? Is it an end user property, or is it for an investor? And then I market it accordingly. But I also like the vendors or landlords to be realistic with their pricing. So I don't try to entice them with giving them a high price and then you bring it down. I'd be realistic, because if I give it a high price to get the listing, I'm making myself look bad because it's going to get reduced. I'd rather be realistic. And if they want to get it a high price, I just say, you know what, I don't believe it can go for that price, and then I'll keep it going, because I like to be transparent, and I also like to be honest with what I tell the vendor or the landlord, so they have a realistic expectation. And that's why I believe my business is growing in that sense, because of the way I communicate. I'm not communicating it because I want commission. It's more about, let's win. I want you to get what you want. I want the other person to get what they want. And then I just take what's in the middle, because I just know that it's about providing the service that somebody's going to enjoy, somebody's going to like, somebody's going to be happy with, and then more will come my way. So it's not one hit wonder. It's about a continuation.
And it's that mindset, isn't it? I can hear how you're speaking. So it's all based in your belief system, mindset.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Yeah. I think there's nothing better than honesty and like you just mentioned, transparency, because there's nothing good waiting in little lies or you know, trying to go around and make someone to postpone or keep dragging them somewhere where the direction is even not there. Yeah. So if you could say, what is a mindset, as you've mentioned before, but also why is it so important in our health? And I would like to focus more on the mental health in your business field.
Okay. Right. Mental health in my business field.
Yes. Because, and the mindset, what does it exactly mean in your field? I mean, you've mentioned that before very briefly as well. But in your field, when there's a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, a lot of talking, a lot of, you know, coming to conclusion situations, when you have to have such a fresh and healthy brain, how does that affect your health? I mean, physically, you've already, you've mentioned that you've experienced a little bit of chest pain because of the stress and all the circumstances that were coming into your life. But now, in your field,
because what I've learned worry does nothing. Stress brings on illness, hence why I was getting those pains. I didn't know what they were, and it was only later when I realized it's through stress. Someone said anxiety and I was like, wow, because somebody will say I'm not anxious, but they really are. When you're worrying about things, you become anxious. Mm-hmm. So somebody will be you have somebody. Like, for instance, you've got property that needs to be sold and you have applicants coming to look at the property and nobody's putting an offer in. As an agent, you're going to be, oh, my goodness, the landlord's going to get upset. So what I'd rather do in that instance, I'm now saying, OK, people looked at this property. No one's buying it. No one's renting it. Why is that? Because I asked them. So I have to prepare I have to, first of all, protect myself. Protect myself in the sense that I don't want to be blamed for not doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to protect that. Also, protect myself in the sense that I need to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. So I need to protect that. And also protect myself in the sense that I want to reassure the other person so that they don't feel sad or upset or anxious as well. So what I have to look at, when somebody looks at a property now, and I've done what I can, I've given it a price and they've gone to look at it, then they say, oh, because I approach them as if they are taking it, you know. So do you see yourself in this property? And how soon do you want to move in? And when they say, oh, I'm not sure because I'm looking at others, I say, okay, what is it about this property that you would need in order for you to make a decision? What is it about this property that makes you want to go look at something else? And then I hear what they have to say. Mm-hmm. So number one, I'm getting feedback. I'm going to explain to the landlord or the vendor why it's happened, so we can either address that. But each time I'm keeping them aware of what's going on, so that way they know there's an issue. I'll give you an example. There's a property that I was looking at. I brought a few tenants there to have a look at. It's for rental. Mm-hmm. And it's two bed, two bathrooms. And it's in Pimlico, Miss Minister. Two bed, two bathrooms. A nice property, Victorian house. And I felt myself that it's a bit too dark. That was my bit too dark and also a bit dated, but kind of, it could be considered modern, but it's not really, a bit dated. However, he's had about 70 people, not just with me, it's with a lot of different agents, about 70 viewings. Nobody's taken it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you need to really modernize it. Just simple, stage it, modernize it so that people, it would be more appealing. Also, the pictures would look much more better. So simple things like that, rather than, also you have to make sure the landlord or the vendor is open to change, because not many people see the importance of changing the decor of their house in order to attract people to come in and either buy it or rent it. So mindset does play a large part. So you also not only have to change your mindset, but you also have to work in a way that's going to also change the mindset of the person you're working with for it to have an alignment.
Right. So it's very important to be open to criticism, to comments, to changes, isn't it?
Yeah, because I believe I don't like sugarcoating, because I feel when you do that, you're not really helping that person. You're making them feel good, but it's temporary, it's not the truth. And I'd rather be truthful. My children say to me sometimes, Mom, you know, your work, you got to be mindful of how you say things. With my children, it's different. But when I'm in business, I do try to tell the truth, but in a nice way.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can understand. And you do that anyway as an agent, because you would give them comparables. Somebody's got a big high price, you say, well, your property is really nice. It really is nice. However, you know, we're going to go by what's been sold, what's currently on the market, but what's really been sold makes it realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you show them examples so they can see it. So you have to, anything you say, you have to back it up with facts anyway. So the best way to do is, because that's how you change somebody's mindset, when they see the facts speak for themselves.
Yeah, correct. Because empty words means nothing without any type of proof, right? So do you think mindset can affect your success when we talk about work and, even family life? Do you think that can actually affect the way we live our lives and how we are managing it?
Yes, because we could tell ourselves we're great. We could tell everybody else we're great. And we can act like we're great. But deep down, we don't feel that good. Do you understand? So you have to first start off with yourself. But it's not about bragging. It's about living And also it's a level of humility. Mm-hmm. Without humility, you're going to end up falling, because although you might say to people how great you are, you've got to be mindful with who you're saying it to and where you're saying it. Mm-hmm. Because you could be saying it to people who don't feel good about themselves, and you're making them feel even worse. So you have to, so successful people, it also depends on what you call success, because successful ones to one person is different to another person. Mm-hmm. But also, you have, I believe in being mindful of the people around you and how you make them feel. I like to know that when I leave people, I don't make them feel bad about themselves. I'd rather know that when I leave people, they feel good about themselves. Not by me boosting them up with lies. Oh, you're so great. You're so, no. But just being, making them feel themselves just by being me and allow them to be themselves, you know. And if I can offer or leave a word of encouragement, then leave a word of encouragement. So, yeah. So there's, I know people that are very successful, but they're not very nice people. And people are only around them because of who they may know, but they don't really like them. But there's people that are very successful. Nobody really knows them, but that person's content with their life. I'd rather be the second one that's content with my life. And whoever I'm surrounded with, I leave them with a word of encouragement, as opposed to putting them down.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice, or do you think we can change our mindset? And if so, how?
You know what? It starts with what you say. I believe words are very, very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. And we say it and then we become it. And I'll just give an example. For a while, I'll just give it, this is a simple example. Before I had children, I used to think that I was fat, big, but I wasn't. But people would comment on my hips. Oh, your hips are really big. Oh, you got big hips. So I was very conscious of my hips. So I'd always, you know, I'd wear something to cover me over. And then when I had my first child, and I was a size 10/12. Mm-hmm. 10 above, 12 below. Yeah. Then when I had my first child, I really put on a lot of weight. And I've never really gone back down to the size that I really was before. And now I embrace myself because I'm not listening to what people say anymore. Because when you listen to what people say, you have to say to yourself, it doesn't matter what people say about you. Even if you think it, but think about what you want to be and be that person by telling yourself that's what you are. And although it sounds mad, some people say, oh, it's just the law of attraction and the rest of it. I won't call it law of attraction, but I call it spiritual law, because these are things that happen. You speak things into existence, but you also have to become it. You act as if it's there. So I say for anyone, if you say, you know, I'm not confident when I go into these meetings, you're going to go into the meeting, you're not going to be confident. Mm-hmm. If you say, I'm confident, I'm going into this meeting with confidence, and I'm going to make sure that I get what I set out for. And you set your plan. This is what I want to get. This is what I want to achieve when I go to this meeting. It's like when you say to somebody, oh, don't forget your bag. They're going to forget the bag. But if you say, remember the bag before you leave the house, they're going to remember the bag. So it's really, we have to, when someone says, oh, I'm not that good at maths. You're not good at maths. You won't be. I've been trying to get onto social media because I used to be what they call the techie person. Everything going. I had the Scion. I had the we called it, was it a beeper at the time? The beeper. I had the mobile phone. This is back in the days. So everything techie I had. And then once I had children, oh, Facebook, that's for the kids. MySpace, that's for the kids. That's for the kids. That's what's for the kids. Now I know you need it for business. So I spent many years saying, oh, I don't know social media. I don't understand social media. I wasn't doing myself a disservice. Now I'm saying I understand social media. I need it. And I'm doing it. Because when you tell yourself you can't do something, you won't do it. Mm-hmm. Focus on what you want to do, what you want to achieve. So for anybody that's going through a stage in their life where they feel that they're not good enough, or they feel they're not able to because of their past or their circumstances. It all starts off with you. People buy into you. If you're confident, when you're confident about who you are and what you achieve, people are going to say no, some will say yes. It's not for everybody. We're not there for everyone. We're there for the ones who we attract, the ones we're supposed to be connected to. So I don't take a no as a bad thing. I take a no as like, okay, I wonder what that was for. Maybe I need to change. Maybe I don't. But as long as it's not something personal that would affect somebody else, then I just say, you know what, just keep it moving. And that's why I do. Yeah.
And I think that's the beautiful actually ending to all our questions. I think you covered it very, very well, and you've elaborated on that so people can understand what is needed in order to change, and also perhaps think of how can I succeed in my career or even family life or even being a mom or whatever it is that they're into. So thank you for that. I'm sure everyone learned something, you know, I've learned something. So I'm grateful for that. And thank you for being patient with the software technology these days.
I'm grateful for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Phaedra. I wish you a great day, and I hope to speak to you somewhere in the future. Thank you. You have a good day.
You have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And now it's time for our workout. But before we continue, we have some valuable information from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, team, so let's work out together. So today we're going to have some cardio. We've done a lot of upper body core, we've did some leg work, and today we're going to focus on some cardio. So very quick little bit of HIIT element to your daily routine. We're going to focus on sprints today in a spot, some split lunges with the jump and burpees. So as I mentioned, first one, sprints. Because we wanted to make sure that our workouts are available for any type of place we're in, either office, home, or maybe outside, outdoor, anywhere, I want you to focus on sprints in the spot. But if you can actually sprint, do a meters, then do and go for it, please. Okay, so sprints in the spot. I want you to guys stay on your toes, ball of your feet, and as fast as you can, move your feet. Like you're sprinting, exactly like that. And you want to make sure you're moving your arms with you. You want to do it for at least 20, 30, or maybe even 40 seconds. If possible, if you can, try it. And then take 30 seconds rest, no more than 30 seconds. You should be pretty well recovered after 30 seconds. The number two, move on to split lunges with the jump. Add that nice long tall jump, land on your toes, ball of your feet, and keep switching legs. Left, right, left, right. If you have bad knees like myself, you don't need to add the jump. You can just keep going for walking lunges. Walk forward, walk backwards, keep changing. Go for, again, at least 30, 40 seconds. After a rest, we're going to go for the last one, burpees. So everyone hate me for that, but we do love our burpees. I mean, we hate them, but we love them. It's hate and love relationship, actually. So you want to drop that chest all the way down to the floor, like you're lying on the floor, and then push yourself and jump all the way high up. Make sure you clap on top or have your hands on your neck all the way up, jump, 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 and again, at least 30-40 seconds. You should be able to fit between 15 to 20 burpees within 40 seconds. And repeat this set of those three exercises at least 2-3 times. Within the next 5 minutes, you should be pretty sweaty. Okay, team. Well, that's a little bit of HIIT cardio work for today. Thank you so much for working out with me. And stay tuned for more. Your mindset is a set of beliefs that shapes how you make sense of the world and yourself. It influences how you think, feel, and behave in any given situation. Our mindset allows us to explore the infinite possibilities and makes us develop the positive belief that can propel us to move forward in everything we deal with. That's one of the reasons that mindset can affect our success. In a growth mindset, people have an underlying belief that their learning and intelligence can grow with time and experience. When people believe they can get smarter, they realize that their effort has an effect on their success. So they put in extra time, leading to higher achievement. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Share with me your thoughts, comments, DM me with your life stories. If you have any questions or you would like me to talk about any particular subject, please contact me. Follow me on my Instagram, fitnesswithnk, where you can leave your message, and make sure you visit my website, www.nataliakotowska.com, for any more information and workouts. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.